I was on my way to the post office and the Hardee's to get a biscuit this morning. The two go hand in hand up at Henderson. Amen. And then my phone rung, and my good friend, Brother Charles Ennis, said, "I'm in a jam." I said, "I'll bring some bread and we'll eat our way out of it." But he told me the man was sick, was supposed to be here and do this, and asked me, could I bring the charge to the money? And I was somewhat concerned about how much to charge him. But after I found out his name was Money, I said, "You don't worry about that no more." That's taken care of. Amen. I appreciate the opportunity. I try to be an humble servant of the Lord, but I try to keep a good attitude. There's enough problems in life without me becoming one. And so I really work at that. Brother Money, you and your dear wife, may God bless you and keep you and enrich you in the things of God as you go forward. It is our prayer. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, 1 Timothy 5, 17 through 25, Titus 1, 4 through 9, 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, gives the qualifications of the man of God. Obviously, you have met those qualifications. If not, Brother Ennis would not have you here today. We'd not be going through this. So we are thankful that you are a man of God and God has touched you and called you. In Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 13, the Bible tells us that we're gifts to the church. The church is not a gift to the preacher. The church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If we keep that in mind, we get way ahead of the thing. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, he gives us our orders. And our orders are to go. You go across the street, you go across town, you go across the ocean. Wherever God leads, we go. And we don't hesitate. I learned a long time ago, you don't argue with God. He's going to win. God does not lose an argument. And so he wins. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 7, the Bible says, keep yourself holy. Keep yourself holy. Why? Because we serve a holy God. And one of the best ways I know to keep yourself holy is with the scripture. In the scripture, we find in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, that redneck Henderson stuff like to come out right then. Amen. Whenever you work and with Henderson, them folks speak a different language up that way. Nobody says Henderson but me. Everybody else is Henson. So everybody knows I'm not from there. I'm a transplant. Amen. But in 2 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 15, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I know that as you grow and all your ministry grows, you're going to understand more about that, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's important there. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You said, that's right, I got to preach that. But you know, that works for the preacher too. It works for the preacher too. I've made it a habit through the years to read 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus at least 3 or 4 times a year just to keep it fresh in my mind what God would have us to do. With these scriptures in mind, we understand that we will study the Bible. If someone studies the Bible, you'll find your prayer life is going to get stronger. The more you read and study God's word, the more enriched your prayer life is going to be. The more your prayer life is enriched, you're going to find you're going to witness more. You want to share what you have learned from the Word of God. You want to tell someone about that. And then the more you read the scripture and the more you pray and the more you witness, you'll find that your attitude is affected and affected greatly in that. And what a blessing. Then in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, it tells us that the Holy Spirit is trying to do something in our life. He wants to develop certain attributes in our life. So we find then, as the Holy Spirit begins to work in our life, and you've already alluded to the fact that the Holy Spirit has worked in your life and does work in your life when you read God's Word. And you'll find that the more you submit to the Holy Spirit when He comes along, then He's going to develop this in your life. And the more He develops the fruits of the Spirit in your life, then you're going to give an attention to your personal life, and to your moral life, to your mental life, to your social life, to your domestic life, to your Christian experience, and also your public life. You'll find that you'll put yourself under the magnifying glass. And I kid you not, other folks are doing it for you. So you have to learn to do that right early. Amen. And I trust it'll work to you there when you do it. You need to watch your money. That's your name. Y'all don't know, it'll be hard to figure that out. Watch your morals. Morals are important. Your morals can destroy you and destroy your ministry. Your music. Thank God for good Christian music. I was looking at the choir director as the choir was singing. He must be awful proud of that choir. Amen. You could see it in his face as they were singing. They were doing exactly what he wanted them to do. Amen. That's good. But it's good to give attention to music. The wrong kind of music can put you on the bottom of the list just as quick as your bad morals will. Then you need to give attention to your marriage. You may win the world, but if you lose your wife, you've lost it all. Amen. So please give attention to your marriage. Don't take for granted that everything's all right, because it's not. When you're going to come in and your countenance is on the floor, what a blessing it is to meet a little woman with a smile on the face and a song in her heart and a good kiss on her lips. Amen. But it works both ways. You'll have to give attention to that. It's important. If you're going to be a teacher, teaching appeals to the mind. People are intellectually inclined by teaching. Preaching appeals to the heart. Preaching changes people. It'll either make them mad or glad, but it'll change people. Amen. It'll change people. So in Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, I read that again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That word perfect carries the idea of being mature as a Christian, growing up, thinking, sober-minded. As our brother read up there in the Presbytery Council. It is there. It's important. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. This is the charge that I bring to you. Paul writing to his son Timothy in the ministry says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Well, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Verses 1 and 2, he said, preach the word. The realization should encourage us to do our very best work and carefully preach the word. It's important that we do that very faithfully. Preach the word is the main responsibility that Paul shared in this section, Timothy was the pastor of a church at Ephesus, and Paul wanted him to understand his first obligation was to preach the word, to preach the word, with a lot of emphasis on the word. And so we have to do that. Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead. Someday Timothy's work will be tested, and so will ours. So will ours. One day you and I will stand before God, and we're going to give an account of every word we've said, every word. And so we must understand that. Amen. Jesus is returning. He's going to conquer. Paul said, by his appearing. By his appearing. We have a lifelong obligation. It's not a seasonal thing. It's not one day a week. It's a lifelong obligation. You have entered the ranks, or you will in a little while, with some great men of God down through the years. You said you had the privilege to sit at Dr. Harold Seidler's feet and heard him preach. I believe if you ever want to look a man and say, what is a pastor? There he is, Dr. Harold Seidler. Amen. What a man of God he was. Amen. So our work must be such that we'll stand the scrutiny of Christ. Christ is going to judge our work. Our lives must be such that we welcome the appearance of Christ whenever he comes back. Our service must be such that he will demonstrate the reality of our citizenship in his kingdom. I've seen what preaching of the word can do in churches and in individual lives through the years. I affirm that nothing can take its place. There's nothing can take the place of the word of God. I love music. I come up in a music family. My wife and I sang several years with a quartet. And I love music, but there's never been a song written that'll take the place of God's word. It's just not there. Amen. So true preaching is the explanation and the application of Bible doctrine. Anything else just religiously is speech making. You got to stick with the word. The word's important. Fulfill your ministry in verse 5. He speaks. I'm sorry. Let me back up here to verse 3 and 4. We are there, but we must be obedient to the Scripture. Be obedient to the Scripture. You're God's man. I won't question that, but we are expected to be obedient to the Scripture as God's men. How could I possibly expect this man to be obedient to the Scripture when I'm preaching if I'm not obedient to the Scripture? Amen. A good portion of the preacher's life is by example. Amen. We have to live it. Amen. In verse 5, you fulfill your ministry. Make full proof of the ministry means fulfill whatever God wants you to do. God's our boss. We have a boss. Somebody said, boy, I'd love to be a preacher. You don't have nothing to do. I don't know what preacher you've been watching, but you hang on to my coattail a while, I'll show you something different. Amen. Oh, man, I've got a boss man. God's my boss. Amen. And Timothy's ministry would not be exactly like Paul's. There's no two men's ministry is exactly alike. We must minister as God dictates to us. That's our ministry. That's our calling. It'll be important to the cause of Christ, and so will you. Your ministry is going to be important. Your ministry is going to be important to the cause of Christ. And you as an individual is going to be important to the cause of Christ. We realize that faithfulness is important, that God sees the heart. God sees the heart. Makes no difference what comes out of my mouth. God sees the heart. God sees the heart. Amen. It is there. And so this is why Timothy had to be sober. The word sober does not mean to abstain from alcohol, but that's a pretty good place to start. The word sober here renders the thought of being sound-minded, mature, sound-minded in our judgments toward the Lord. Amen. So it's there. And we should carry his ministry with seriousness of purpose. It is a purpose that God has called you. It is for a purpose God has put you in the ministry. And we must be extremely serious about what God has called us to do. We must do that. He says to endure afflictions. Problems come. They come to everyone. There's people here in the building may have incurred some problems today. It may have come your way today. So problems come to everyone. They come in preachers' lives too. And we just have to endure, learn to endure the afflictions when they come and go on and do we work and an evangelist. We never can forget the fact we ought to be soul winners. Every born-again child of God ought to be a soul winner. It's not just a preacher's job. It's everybody's job. But the preacher has to do it too. Amen. So that's the instruction. So please, you start in the Word and you keep the Word in your message as you go. I think it's important that you... I just want to throw something in. I'm hearing preachers today use a lot of street talk in their preaching. I don't think it's very becoming to the pulpit. Amen. When people use the slang of the street in the pulpit. I know I'm a bit of a redneck, and sometimes them words come out, the cliches, them Carolina cliches, they come out, but I want you to know that I'm extremely serious about what I'm saying, and I want to say the right thing. And watch the street talk, amen. You have to make decisions on what you are. You say, I'm a Baptist. Listen, there's Southern Baptist, there's Northern Baptist, there's American Baptist, there's Primitive Baptist, and there's Free Will Baptist. Did you know there's over 3,000 different kinds of Baptists in America? Somewhere in there, we got to fit. Amen? So we have to decide what we are. I decided many years ago that I was a fundamental independent Baptist, King James and local church. And I haven't changed that through the years. God has been good to me and God's used me and I'm thankful for that. Our prayer is for you to do what God has called you to do. Be as serious about it as you can possibly be. And finish that which you start, that God's laid on your heart to do. Let's pray. Father, guide and direct and help our dear brother and his wife. Lord, as they go into the ministry, I pray, God, you give them blessings, Lord, financial and spiritual and enthusiastic, Lord, about the things that you've called them to do. Lord, help us to be true and honest and sincere about the precious word of God. But it is the revelation that we have from you, and that we must preach if we are to be obedient to your calling. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.